Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are built by the Barn Dough Co., live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Cheap Sports Network app, free to download on Google Play and the Apple App Store. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. He, as always, is my co-host, J.C. Sherbert, from Points Unknown. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Oh, man. There's the avalanche.
Radio. Yep. I mean, TV edits, man. I can't do TV edits.
Just a stranger in the Alps.
You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Okay. That's my car.
God, that's so good.
This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. It's a smorgasbord Thursday. We had a long crosstalk with the morning show and Jamie, a lot of recruiting. That was the topic of coffee this morning, too. It's sometimes good to dig into it. I like doing that. It's kind of where my roots are. Like interesting stuff that I kind of uncovered today. That 2025 class, Phil. It's a large class compared to 24 and 26, yeah, as far as high schoolers go. A lot of in-state guys, a lot of guys that didn't see the field a lot last year, but a lot of guys with some potential. You know, I start thinking about it, like a guy like Anthony Addison at defensive end and Quay Dodd at defensive end, or, you know, there's all those receivers, not all of them played. I'd forgotten that Malik Clark was the highest ranked player in the class. Right. Per 24/7 Sports composite rankings, and he redshirted, had one catch last year. Jordan Gidron, who we've mentioned, long runway for him. You know, just a lot of players that, and I think now with the portal, you're going to see less and less freshmen playing just about everywhere, except North Carolina, where they decided just to sign a 40-man high school class.
Just we'll take them all. We're taking all comers.
That was the plan. They were like, well, wait a minute.
Hold on.
They got their butt beat in the portal. And Lombardi, the genius. Yeah, his last name is so ironic. Because you think about the last name Lombardi, and you think about football and football excellence. And that guy, just, if I were a North Carolina fan, I'd be livid that that guy was basically running the program. And this guy, so his genius idea was to wave the white flag in the portal. Just go all in on high school. I'm like, you have a 73-year-old coach.
Yeah, but yeah, you got
bad last year.
I was like, you know what I could do with 40 third and fourth round picks.
I'm young at heart.
This is what I do. Just take all of them.
But they're not third and fourth round picks. That's why I'm convinced a lot of not all NFL guys, but a lot of NFL guys just don't have a clue about college football.
Mm-hmm.
Like this foreign, because when you get a rookie in the NFL, yeah, there's rookies, but past that rookie season, they're not rookies anymore. They're pros.
No.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes in college, that rookie season extends for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
You know,
yeah, the new doesn't wear off.
Yeah. You develop. So if he's thinking, you know, here's what we'll do. We'll take our lumps and then the next year they'll all be ready to go. That's going to be a hell of a player development exercise to get 40 dudes ready to ball. And not all of them are highly touted either, but that's where they spent their money. I mean, they got some portal guys too, but, you know, I guarantee you, I can almost guarantee you that the conversation went like this. Maybe we should try to like build it through the draft, you know? Yeah. Okay, we're recruiting then, high school guys. And they don't realize of those 40, only 10 are going to be ready to go out and really play at a high level their second year,
right?
Five the first year. I mean, you know, if you want to go take your lumps, it could take longer than that. Then the ones that, if you have a bad team, you know, there's no contract. So if you have a bad football team, there's going to be a certain number of players that say, yeah, because there's no like, it's a very sterile culture there. There's no like, well, these dudes care about me and love me, right? So I'm going to stay. There's no culture that keeps them there. You know, the guys that do ball out on that 2-10 team or whatever, while you're taking your lumps, they're going to get scooped up by a contender.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You've just turned yourself into a G5 school. Yeah. Congrats.
Look, maybe it works. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again, but I can't believe that. Yeah. It's very interesting. 21 position players, 23, if you count Kyler Farrow, the snapper, and Max Kelly, the kicker, from the 2025 class on the roster at Carolina for this coming season. So, some of those guys just by math are going to have to get into the two deep, and some of them really have a chance to be good. Right. My overall take on that class, Phil, is that it's probably a year away from being super impactful from a large numbers standpoint. Okay. Cause what they sound a lot of receivers, and a lot of linebackers. Well, not all the all the receivers are going to come along at different times. Right. Mm-hmm. And they sound a lot of linebackers, and you got Murphy and Johnson and Justin O coming back, and you only play two at a time. You got two coming in behind them. So because the numbers were large at those positions, I think overall impact is going to be interesting. Now, I do think Kendall Daniels Jr. and DeMarcus Leach have a home in the backfield, defensive backfield next year. And Chris Hatfield's a guy too. Just don't count him out, man. Mm-mm. They've liked him. He came in last summer, so nobody talked about him a lot. He's another long, lengthy guy. So yeah.
I like the defensive names on this redshirt list, right? Like, I'm looking at it now. I mean, even Josh Smith back there is like, because I'm a big fan of big linebackers.
So. Yeah, I like Josh Smith and Donovan Darden. Did not redshirt last year. He played on 10 games on special teams, but he's a big, long, lengthy guy. He's probably got a couple of years, about a year or so left of development to do to really – get there, but certainly there's a lot to be. I called it in the newsletter today. So this is the Gen X of football rosters, those second year guys that when most of them redshirt, they were in your recruiting class the year before, you forget about them. They're often ignored, but potentially significant, just like Gen X.
That's right. Often ignored, but potentially significant.
Anyway. Clown of the day, according to Ben in the ITG chat box, Charlie Baker from the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean,
I have to agree there. And this is another, he and Greg Sankey, when they tapped Charlie Baker to do it, I was like, well, this guy, he was the Republican governor of Massachusetts, of all places, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to get to that spot. You really have to be someone that compromises and is willing to put a deal together. And it's just gone nowhere. This whole legislation has gone nowhere in Congress. Yeah. They've become more toothless. They continue as an organization. I think it's the people that work there. I think it's the bureaucracy there, quite frankly. Mark Emmert, I think, created this monster of stupidity. Before he was out, and he was god awful. But I think what they continue to do is they fight battles that don't make any sense. Like, and then the big stuff they just fold on, the stuff that actually impacts the game, they have no solutions. And this is the thing about it, Phil. You run into people like that in life, right?
Yeah.
It's either the HOA. Or like low mid-level management. Everybody's worked with someone like that. They really aren't capable of doing anything big. And so what they do is they make like your life hard by squabbling and making themselves feel important and by overemphasizing very unimportant things.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what the NCAA does. The HOA is the same way. They're not the landlords. They're not the homeowners, but they got their little power. So they're going to squabble over the little things they're legally, and they're going to make those into big life-changing deals in some spots.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there's these AI videos about the HOA. Just outlandish things.
Yeah, those are funny.
The judge always shoots them down. You're going to jail. What? Ben says, Donovan Darden's the next Gamecock star from the 252. The Havelock, the Columbia Pipeline won't let us down. Yeah, I'm just saying, don't expect it. We'll see what happens after spring practice. Last time I checked on it, wasn't quite as far along as, not that I expected, but as not quite as far along to where I'm willing to just say he's the fourth linebacker in place of Jerron Willis. He very well could be. But like Phil mentioned, Josh Smith could be that guy. AJ Holloway could be that guy. You know, who knows? Keenan Britt could be that guy, the incoming true freshman from Alabama. You know, you just never know.
And, hey, but the fewer of them you see on the field, the more they're going to develop, assuming that they're retained, right? So it's just like they're going to continue to just get better and bigger and faster. And,
And I love Donovan Darden as a prospect. I thought the only question I had about him was when I watched his Havelock film, he had his hand in the dirt. He was an edge, and he shot off the ball and rushed the passer. He's really long. So I just didn't know. I was like, linebacker? I'm not sure. Well, then in Shrine Bowl, he played linebacker and effortless doing it, and he played in all the special teams last year too, so he's been on the field in pads hitting people and things like that, and that's always possible. But anyway, our friend Charlie Baker, back to him. so the NCAA, you know, whining and complaining and mad. They're mad, Phil. We're mad because
I'm so angry.
Football. We don't control football, and the TV networks and conferences do. And but what they do control is the NCAA men's basketball. And they're about to ruin it. They're about to go.
Right. It's the one thing you could pin on them, too. It was like, man, they really do that well. You know,
Mike Morgan will tell you the NCAA does events well, College World Series. They do events quite well. Whoever's in charge of their events department, I bet that's a separately housed unit.
Yeah, right.
I bet they stay away from enforcement.
It's probably not even in Indianapolis. It's probably like the farthest point from Indy ever, right?
That place makes sense. So he says that he wants to expand the NCAA tournament. Now, I disagree with Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti on this. I disagree with everybody. I think the NCAA basketball tournament should be left the hell alone. I think, obviously, you're going to have power conference teams. And here's the other thing about it. What's kind of screwed everything is how the NCAA has managed the NIT since taking it over. The NIT used to not, it's never been, you know, hadn't been prestigious for 50 years, right? And people don't care. But when you had it at Madison Square Garden in New York, and it was an event, and it was had tradition to it, and it was like, okay, you know, we're just going to try to make it through this tournament, and we get home games and away games, and our team can get better, and then we'll go play some other good teams. I think it was worth it. Oh, but then, Philip, it was well intentioned to a certain extent, but it's kind of when they took it over, they basically killed it because they decided to pat this rule. All right, well, you know, without expanding the field, if you win your conference, even if you're a mid-major, because see the stupidity up there too is all the Division I conferences are the same. All the FBS football conferences are the same. They're not. They're just not.
No.
And you know, not paying attention to the fact that these mid-major conferences, by the way, those are, if you want to see college basketball in its purest form, watch things like the Southern Conference Tournament, because it's do or die. They're one bid leagues. And you know, the chances of getting upset in that scenario when you've won your league in the regular season, that's not low. Right. So there's a slew of upsets. So these mid majors take half the field. And that's why Frank Martin should have been on like a heater, like 8 out of 11 postseasons at South Carolina.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But wasn't, because an 18 win SEC team could not make the NIT because of Mount St. Mary's or whoever the hell. You know, they won the Northeast, but Marist beat them in the final. So you got to give them this thing. So it ruined the product. So nobody cared anymore. And then the thing is obviously probably losing a bunch of money. And so then on top of that, they move it from Madison Square Garden, the mecca of college basketball. You know, there are people that would just be excited about playing in that building if you know basketball. I mean, remember Mike's call when the Gamecocks won it? Here come the St. Joe's fans.
Yep.
The St. Joe's in Philly. It's a train ride up to New York. They were all over the place, right? Instead of saying, well, what they move it to Indianapolis. Not Vegas, where that would.
So
they screwed they screwed the NIT. So instead of some of these teams and these power conferences just taking their medicine and going to the NIT, now they're turning them down because it's a worthless tournament. Number one, and then number two, it's NCAA or bust. And so the coaches and they're like, wait a minute, you know, we're pretty good this year and we got left out, so this is not fair. So I get it. But again, it's the NCAA's fault, right? Because they screwed tournament number two. I think what they should do is this. Don't expand the NCAA tournament. They're not going to listen to me. They're not going to listen to Ben.
No.
Unfortunately, Ben's very intelligent and they should listen to, if you don't want to listen to me, listen to Ben.
You hear that, Charlie?
I don't remember what play it was. It was something set in Mississippi, but it was a Tennessee Williams play. I don't remember, but there's a line in there. It was set in the 60s when Archie was at Ole Miss. It's like, if you don't want to do it for me, do it for Archie. Do it for Archie. Do it for Archie. Do it for Eli.
Eli. Yeah, that's the new one now. Yeah, that would be it now.
Yeah, do it for Arch. You know, I don't think anybody in Austin, Texas is saying that. Do it for Arch.
Do it for Arch.
Do it for Arch. But Ben says he'd rather go back to 64 than 72 or 70. Yeah.
It
kind of ruins the first weekend because you got all these games on Tuesday and Wednesday and everybody's rushing around. You know what the first four is, Phil? I got an analogy for you here.
Okay. All right.
The first four, you remember when at Christmas, when we were kids, unless your family had a tradition of opening gifts Christmas Eve.
It is. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Your parents would let you open one gift.
Yep.
But you had to wait till the next morning for Santa Claus mm-hmm. and to open your other gifts. That's what that is. And it's beautiful. Or it's tolerable. The first four is tolerable.
Yeah.
But it's nice because you got, oh man, it's on. And man, I can't wait till Thursday. I'm taking the day off, you know, and you got the brackets and all that. You start packing more teams into that crap. And then it basically, that's just when they start. And then, you have buys. College sports leaders need to get off the buy train. You didn't have buys until you had the first four.
Yeah.
And you really shouldn't now. And then the way they did it, they screwed South Carolina again in a roundabout way. Because it used to be that the buy games were, two 16 seeds going at each other and two 11 seeds going at each other. So South Carolina as a 6 seed would have gotten a team that had to play in the first four in theory. Instead, they got Oregon that won the Pac-12 tournament. Okay.
Sure.
And, and a motivated Jermaine Cousinard. But Ben, I'm with you. Why are you doing this? It's just like you've screwed college basketball enough. Look at how angry college basketball coaches are this year.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, they're all like sounding off. Not all of them, but a lot of them are, you know, which is kind of wild. But here's the thing that kills me about this, and this is apparently a direct quote from Charlie Baker. It gives more kids the opportunity to experience that, meaning the tournament. Well, the more kids you allow every year to experience that, the less it freaking means.
Look, dude. Here we are.
Charlie Baker is officially, you know, participation trip. Hell, make it 96. You kids. Want brackets to work out? It's got to be 96, or you're going to have, you know, these two games. How many games are going to be played that your, you know, March Madness bracket isn't going to count? That you're not going to be able to divine who's going to win, you know, two games before they get into the Sweet 16 or the round of 32, rather.
And this
is thing that kills me. It's like
not a damn thing to do with kids either.
It
has to do with money.
It's all about money. Right. It's all about the money.
You make more money. We want to make more money. Hey, guys, make more money. But yeah,
Nick's mad as they losing some NBA stuff now, and they're like, hey, we got to have more content for True TV in March and April, Charlie. We need to expand this thing to 96 or Turner's going under.
I just don't understand that at all. And so, yes, Ben, Charlie Baker could be the clown of the day. Steven says, hell's bells. Just let everybody in.
It's getting to that point, you know?
I mean, if they go to 72, they add four more. I don't know, man. More, but don't tell me Charlie Baker. Charlie Baker. What did five hands fingers say to the face? Smack, slap. Charlie Baker. F your couch, Charlie Baker.
72. Because you give him, you know, you give him 76, 72. When's it going to stop, Charlie? When's it going to stop? We need four more.
BS rhetoric coming out of the Big Ten for the 24. They'll give more players an opportunity. No, you just want to make money.
Yeah,
you want to shiv the SEC again because you know the SEC championship game is valuable. It's a big deal in the South. So you just want to shiv, but you know the Big Ten's never gotten off the ground. There was some good moments. The Big 12, the other one, ACC looked like hassles every year.
Yeah,
I mean. So I don't, you know, I don't know, but I'm with you, Ben. I don't understand that at all, at all. So he is the clown of the day. Brent did say you're about to enter a world of pain, Larry. From the Big Lebowski, our crosstalk. You know, Phil, I was thinking today. So what was it? The wife, we're talking about some conspiracy theory because there's some kind of green something showing up on our cars, like here in the near the Windy City.
Seems a little
early. Points unknown. It does, doesn't it? But it's been unseasonably warm. But I mean, when it's winter weather and it snows, all the salt gets all over. So you gotta clean your car. It wouldn't be the first time the car wash is open because the water's frozen, right? Mm-hmm. So it was nice on Friday, and I went and got my car, went around the truck through the car wash, right? So, but I looked out today in mine and my stepson's car. I bought him the pass, you know, the membership to the Gas and Wash, where you get free washes, you pay a certain amount every month, the club, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I let his crap all over it, right? And Blake says, by the way, as an aside, those are the aliens Obama's talking about.
Yeah, right.
That was a cool conversation about it. But anyway, so I was like asking about it, and I was like, you know, maybe it's, and I said something like the governor, because I hate J.B. Pritzker, is just not my favorite person on earth. I think he's just, anyway, I'm not going to get into that, but I said, well, he sold something to somebody or taxed somebody, and now he's got it in the air so he can, you know, tax you again on something. And I was like, but I don't believe in conspiracy theories. And so we started talking about, she's like, yes, you do. She's like, you just have these narratives in your head and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, that's true. I was like, but let me tell you why I'm not like a chemtrail conspiracy theorist alien guy. Mine is much more about humanity. And I learned this from Super Friends.
Yes.
All right. So there was an episode of Super Friends that was very dark. And Superman was dying.
Right? Oh.
He's like, help, this is the last humanity. And you're like, what the heck is going on here? It's a very dark episode of Super Friends. And the reason why, and I'm doing this from memory, folks. I did not research this today. So if I'm wrong and you remember the episode and I got a fact wrong, let me know. But everybody's dead. Batman, Robin, Spider-Man, the Wonder Twins. By the way, I messed up when I told my wife. I was like, yeah, she's like, I love Super Friends. I'm like, me too. I had a crush on one of the Wonder Twins.
Oh, no.
Obviously, it was was it Zan and Jaina? Jaina? It was Jaina? It was the female Wonder Twin, right? But never say one of them. That's just too ambivalent. Never say that. Never say that. Unless that's your thing. And then that's fine, too. No ambivalence with which Wonder Twin. Just be clear. It doesn't matter which one. One of the Wonder Twins. So anyway, they're all dead, right? And only Superman, because he's got superhuman strength, survived. And it's because a solar flare had come off the sun and basically baked the earth.
Mm.
Right? And it's like, whoa. And that's just, for a moment, I worried about solar flares. Because I grew up in the 80s. We worried about things like nuclear war, solar flares, the space shuttle exploding.
we were conditioned to
we were conditioned to assume
the apocalypse would happen at any moment. Any moment.
Yeah, nuclear bomb. Yeah, the nuclear bomb drill. Put a book over your head. Boy, that's good.
Mutually assured destruction. Like, okay.
So anyway, I started worrying about solar flares a little bit in my young mind. Well, they come to find out, Lex Luthor had created this shield that went around the whole Earth because Superman got his power from the sun.
From the yellow sun.
Mm-hmm. To shield Superman from the sun. And then there so happened to be a routine solar flare, and it interacted with this shield and baked the Earth. Everybody died. Superman was about to go himself because the shield kept the energy from getting there, but the heat went up, right? And that's when I learned this. There are no science fiction conspiracy theories that are valid according to what we know now. But what you can never, ever discount is some jerk off evil human trying to do something selfishly with power that will screw things up for all of us,
for everybody, right?
That will cause a supernatural extinction level event to happen. Right. So yes, sometimes I'm like sitting there and yeah, oh, this is why, because this person that I think is pretty evil has done this. So it's all up. So I learned about humanity in a harsh manner based on that episode of Super Friends. And then I learned this morning, never, always identify which Wonder Twin you have a crush on.
That's true. Yeah. It was time to be specific.
Yeah. And always identify D's Wings as the place to go in West Columbia. And I hope you're hungry and go to D's and eat today, because I'm hungry because I'm thinking about the smorgasbord.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up with our main man, Alex Jones. I've got a question. I've been pondering something, Phil. It's probably not going to be popular. Maybe it'll be popular. It's about the running backs.
All right.
So I'm just
an unpopular running back.
I don't know if it's unpopular. I just got a question about Matt Fuller versus Juwan Howell versus the field. And I looked into Fuller's numbers a little bit and I started thinking about it. I've been team Matt Fuller the whole time. I'm not anything against Fuller. But I'm also team Juwan Howell.
Right.
And I just don't know that it's a layup, you know, that Fuller's the number one guy. I think that's probably what they'll do, but I just there's some thought that has to go in it. There's some improvement that has to be made. So we'll talk about it. I'm gonna ask Alex what he thinks.
Yeah.
We've also got something to show Alex from the 80s.
Just a little something. Little
Alex always gets a history lesson, and we're glad to get him on.
Yeah, you sent me that, and I was like, apparently Instagram knows that on Thursday I go looking for funny things, and it went off the rails for me, the algorithm, today, and I was like, these are great, but I can't do them. We can't look at these.
Yeah, there's some you just got to lay low on. Anyway, we're going to lay low and be right back. Alex Jones, Gamecock Smorgasbord, after this on the show.
For over 80 years, the West Law Firm has delivered hard work, honest advice, and real results, and is a law firm built on family that delivers for families in South Carolina. They represent clients through personal injury, criminal defense, car, DUI, and boating accidents, and more. Built on blue collar, representing blue collar, the West Law Firm understands the importance of dedication and experience needed for representation, but with a foxhole mentality. Visit westlawfirmsc.com. BestLawFirmSC.com. Get comfortable with our team and learn why we should be a part of yours when you need us. Go Gamecocks!
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. It can become extremely difficult to bounce back to what you knew before. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170.
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience and service, second to none. Residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia.
If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
2026 is the year of the Barn Dominium, and the Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home for your family. Make your dream a reality. Change your life today. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us. Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network.
Do you like hot fudge sundaes? All right.
It's the Gamecock Smorgasbord with Alex Jones.
Our gifts. What would you do?
Even though I'm.
All right, let's start this over.
Yeah, let me pause. That's on me.
All right, Alex, here we go. Here's your lesson for the
producer in here. Jeez.
Offered you anything like candy.
Nice. I started over. Did you miss the first part?
No, I did. Hold on.
Refresh.
All right, there we go. Now I got it. Let's go. The thing is, you can't run these things back on the internet. You can on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There. All right, here we go.
If a stranger offered you anything like candy, money, or gifts, what would you do?
Even though I'm 17, I'd never take anything from a stranger. Not money, candy, gifts, anything.
Rule number one, never take money, candy, toys, gifts, or anything from a stranger.
If a
it's a quick one today. So what I want number two. I want to know what number two is, because we are putting a list together here, obviously, gentlemen. Yes.
All right, Alex. So the question for you is,
okay,
when you were 17, because you were 17 more recently than I, would you have taken money, candy, or a gift from a stranger?
Money, for sure. candy. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say candy. No, not candy. But money. I mean, you're 17. Like, you're going to turn down money.
A gift. All right. So what if it was a attractive female that was a stranger?
Yeah, maybe it changes a little bit there, but
I may or may not question it. Well, if I'm 17 though, I'm not questioning the motivation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, she wants to hook up. Woo. were there any strangers rolling around in Hampton County that offered candy?
Not that I remember.
I never came across anybody like that.
No, yeah, me either. Yeah.
In Spartanburg. You heard about it, though. It was a fear of mine, just like, you know, solar flares and nuclear war. I got over my solar flare fear once I finished my episode of Super Friends. But, yeah, so who decided a seven? My question, too, is who decided the 17-year-old would be, because in the rule number one, aren't you trying to like teach little kids, like 5-year-olds that are trusting and they'll walk up to anybody and say anything? Aren't you trying to maybe teach them? And why would you use a 17-year-old with a porn stash to get your message across?
Yeah, that was an interesting choice for sure.
Stranger danger. So I'm going to give a grade on the execution here. If whoever made this video, I hope whoever requested it didn't pay a lot of money. I'm going to give it a D.
D minus.
Mad Dog.
Yeah, I'm going pretty low on this one. Yeah,
it's an Alabama hat.
I was trying to pull up because I want to get the hat, the whole feel for this. Roll Tide. Because I mean, all of my aunts also went through a phase where they looked like this woman holding the microphone.
Yes, too. I know many people that look like that.
There was a stretch of years where all the pictures looked like this lady here with the big glasses.
Her name Betsy.
Yeah.
Margaret, Liz.
Fits the profile.
Yeah. So that was good. All right, I had to pull it back up there with this little. Yeah, with his little stash there. But yeah, at 17, I would have taken any of that from a stranger.
Yeah, man. You just never knew. Russell chimes in the ITG chat box. I would have taken a cold Miller Lite from a stranger. Trigger says to take all three.
Yeah,
right. Diane.
Blake. That's right. Sylvia.
Sylvia. Hi, this is Sylvia Smith from the Hampton County Clerk's Office, Mr. Jones. I just want to let you know your tags have expired. It's okay, honey. You just come on up here and pay the fee. There's no fine. We're going to waive the fine for you today.
But you got to get up here this week.
Now come on up here this week. They're not going to wait any longer. Mm-hmm. Have a great day.
I can just hear that coming through the phone right now.
Absolutely. We all grew up in South Carolina.
Yeah, right.
We know how things roll. God, I miss it. I went to the DMV in Illinois the other day. We think the South Carolina DMV is miserable. Dear sweet brother Noobsy. Mm-hmm. Illinois people, it's just like a funeral. Yeah, that's how they talk to you. Did you bring your birth certificate?
Yeah.
And then there's
never get anything done the first time around at the DMV.
I'm crazy about it now, though. Like with my stepsons, I'm like, did you get this? Did you get this? I had my 20-year-old because he misplaced his ID or didn't. He got a real ID. It came in the mail. It got lost somewhere. I think somebody threw it out. So he had to go get his real ID replaced. And he's got to get one of those to get on a plane now. Mm-hmm. He's not getting on a plane anytime soon, but yeah, he lost it. So we needed it. So we go in there. I brought a folder this thick, like a legal book, like that much crap in it, and handed it to him and said, there are things you're going to need in here. Good luck. And I sat in the car and listened to Derek and Stu call the baseball game for 35 minutes. And here, too, you got, it's a station-to-station DMV. And I swear to God, they charge you at least a dollar at every one of those stations. Oh, yeah. And if you use your debit card, they charge you a quarter for using that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't stand that. You get the processing fees on top of everything. Yeah. And then they won't take cash. You have to write a check. Yeah. Like, well, I've got cash. Yeah, we don't take cash. What do you mean you don't take cash? Who the hell writes a check
these days?
Yeah.
Oh, I go with the government.
Make them wait. Yeah. The
government wouldn't take a check. I wouldn't think, you know.
I love writing checks. I might be the last check writing son of a bitch out there, but I'm going to write them because you know why? I can't. I'm not going to pay a fee to use my damn debit card, you greedy MFs.
Yeah, dude. It's pretty terrible. Pretty terrible. All right, so first question right off the bat. I've been pondering this about, I don't know if it'll be that being a debate or not. There's a lot of players at running back this year. So I think most people would say Matt Fuller probably, he returns with the most carries, 72 for 260 last year, two touchdowns. He'll be a redshirt sophomore, third year in the program. Ohio State and other schools inquired about him through the portal, so he was some impressed people at other schools last year. But when you talk about him versus the other five, particularly Juwan Howell, I said it would be unpopular. It may be that I'm just kind of going against the grain, or maybe that I just haven't seen enough, or maybe it was the line and he couldn't get going. But if you take away the 72-yard touchdown at LSU, here are his numbers. 71 carries for 188, one touchdown, 2.64 yards per carry. If you take away that long run, that's almost a yards per carry average less. 2.64 is not good. There were many times he got crushed in the backfield. I don't think the kid had much blocking. Yeah. I think when he did have a hole, he would get through it. But also not sure that he naturally did a whole lot himself. You know, the yards per carry thing, too, is a little skewed. But I just don't know. And then I look at Howell, and we hadn't seen enough of him. But he carried it six times down the stretch. I'm not counting Clemson because he only got one. But that little A&M Coastal time when the offense actually looked as good as it had, best it has all year, right? Six carries for 48 yards, 8 yards per carry. Juwan Howell's averaging in his career, counting South Carolina State in college football, 7.5 yards per carry. No, that's not 7.5 is not right. That's what he averaged at SC State. He's averaging 6.75. So, you know, he's a lot, whatever. He's
not bad.
And dude, he's 6'1, 225. So, where do you come down on this? I'm not saying it's a debate. And it because it may be Christian Clark, it may be Jabri Coleman or Sam Dixon, it may be any of these guys. But I'm just sitting there thinking about last year, and based on what we know so far, and I know it's an incomplete body of work, and I know I'm a Juwan Howell homer, but at the very least, I think Fuller's got to show some improvement. It wasn't all the offensive line. You know, you got to sometimes as a running back, you got to make people miss. You got to be patient. You got to break a tackle or two, and he broke some tackles. But anyway, where do you come down on this?
Yeah, I think, you know, the offensive line is going to be the talk of spring practice, obviously, but, like, that running back room is going to be it, too, because I just think there's so many different intriguing options. And, you know, with Fuller, like you saw last year, like, there at times he did flash the LSU game. Like, early on, you know, a lot of the talk about Fuller was like, all right, well, they're not getting many yards past the offensive line, but he's falling forward to give them one or two or three when things are, you know, it could have just been a loss or something like that. So I think some of it was the offensive line, but I do agree there are some things he can continue to build on. But, you know, if I had to lean to make like a 1-2 depth chart right now, just it's hard to do just because they haven't even had spring practice yet. But I would probably just guess it'd be Fuller and Christian Clark 1-2. But Juwan Howell, I think, could be a really nice fit for this Kendall Browse offense, be it it's more of a spread out type of thing. And we've seen the explosiveness that he showed. I mean, we talk about that Illinois game, some things he did in that, some of the things he did 2 years ago. Like, you know, I'm not sure if he's just one of those where it's he's the best in that under center kind of just going in between the tackles. But when things are spread out, I think he's got the speed and the athleticism to really kind of, you know, but then you mentioned his size too. Like he can, you know, run over people and get those extra yards a little bit like Fuller can. But I like his explosiveness. And then also, like, I wouldn't count out a Jabri Coleman either. Like, Stan Drain really likes that guy, and I think there's a reason that he was being brought, that was brought over from Penn State with him. So it's, there's a lot of, I mean, obviously they've completely rebuilt the depth in that room, but there's a lot of intriguing options where I think they can kind of take that next step. And, you know, Matt Fuller, Christian Clark, you know, Jawarn Howard, kind of the three I'm really keeping an eye on, plus what I said about Jabri Coleman.
I'll say this too. It's, you know, Jimmy in the chat box says, don't count out the kid who came over with Stan Drayton. Yeah, Jabri Coleman. I like him a lot too, based on high school.
He's got some good
high young school. Guy, kind of an unknown and all that. So, yeah, I just, you know, I hope. And look, the other part of it too is, you know, we're basing this on last year, but there's a new running backs coach and a new offensive coordinator. So the people that were making the decisions on who to play at running back last year are gone. So we know, I don't know what, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I think almost universally, all of these new coaches are coming in kind of, everybody's got a blank, you know, clean slate. So it could happen. I just think, and maybe I'm wrong again, maybe I'm stretching, and I love Fuller, and I was with you guys, falls forward, all that good stuff. But, you know, there were just some limiting carries. When I say limiting carries, it was something, there were things that, like, you know, it'd probably be better if another back got those carries. Like the fourth down call at Ole Miss, you know, they had snuck that little Fuller's in the slot and got to go around the edge. They'd snuck that in once for a first down. They tried it again, and he's just not that guy. It just didn't show, prove to be that guy. Ole Miss had it snuffed out as well. It wasn't blocked worth of poo. But I just don't know. I mean, I'm not saying Jawarn Howell would have gotten around the edge either. I'm just saying, I don't know. That's just something it's been kind of not bothering me, but in the back of my mind. And so I just wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, I thought in the middle of the season last year when things weren't going, they weren't getting much at all in the running game, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more Jawarn Howell. And I mean, you mentioned it when he did get those reps against Texas A&M and kind of later in the season, like they got a little bit going offensively, and then it just kind of disappeared a little bit. Like
he shot through the hole.
Kind of the story of last season.
And then they would go back to Faison, who I thought with Rasul, he was good for, he was good for like one really fantastic run every seven carries. You know, I would have just liked to have seen in all those games, really, how we'll get more carries just because of what he did on previous carries. Maybe it's a flash in the pan. Maybe those were blocked right and the others weren't. I do know against Coastal, Matt Fuller had 63 yards on eight carries, and he did get blocking and was explosive.
Yeah.
I just think he's more of a north-south guy. I don't know. And maybe in this offense, you know, there's going to be, I don't know, they'll figure it out. I just kind of started thinking about it a little bit. And I've been on team Matt Fuller for a while, so it's not anything against him, but when you do look at the numbers, you know, let's just say there needs to be a little bit more positive yardage next year with that. Okay. So you had an article up about offensive tackle that was committed to Georgia, 6'7" guy, good looking player. I think he's from the state of Georgia. Tell us about him, Alex.
Kyson Mallard, I think that's who you're talking about. 6'5", 310-pound interior offensive lineman, scheduled an official visit with South Carolina yesterday. You know, I think he's one that, you know, he kind of got on the radar a few months ago, not too long after the Georgia D commitment, but he's one that's pretty intriguing, just, you know, being that he's at that size interior offensive lineman, kind of fits what we're seeing them from a size standpoint, what they're looking for, because they've really kind of expanded their recruiting board from a 2027 perspective here. You know, you kind of saw, I think probably some of that was coming, but then with the Brady Hole going to Kentucky and then Maxwell Hiller not having South Carolina's top group, I think you kind of saw them expand a little bit more. And, you know, but Mallard was one that was right kind of with them from the start. They've been on him for a while. And so now you kind of get your shot here. You know, Louisville, you know, I think could be another one to watch. Auburn's also in there, Florida. You know, in Florida, you know, is kind of trying to get in on a lot of these offensive linemen with Trotwine, the new offensive line coach who came from Penn State, who I think was probably one of the reasons Florida's made a big jump for Maxwell Hiller, who's from that same area. I'm really intrigued by Mallard, and now it's just going to be kind of taking their shot with them when they get him in for the official.
I can confirm Trotwine and Max Hiller.
Yeah.
That's definitely a factor because, yeah, definitely a there's a relationship that was there, but Penn State, obviously, and that's why Florida jumped in there. So, I'm with you. Yeah, this kid, Kaisam, I like him. He looks good. You know, yeah, sometimes you get a kid that decommitted from Georgia, and they committed to Georgia early, and he's not very good. Sometimes you get a kid that decommitted from Georgia early, and he ends up being pretty good. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Albany, that's down in South Georgia. That's kind of Auburn country in a lot of ways. Auburn gets a lot of players out of South Georgia historically. We'll see how they go there.
Probably Florida State, too.
Florida State's there. Florida's close-ish. But, you know, his comments he made to you, he's real high on the Gamecocks and high on Randy Clements and stuff like that. So shoot your shot, and away you go. This JUCO guy, the 2026 class they just offered, right?
Yeah, he's a guy that's, you know, from South Carolina too, Graniteville originally. Yeah. Played at Midland Valley.
I messed that up. I said Indian Land earlier. I always get Midland Valley and Indian Land confused. I'm on a heater today. Go ahead.
Yeah, Ashton Mazzone. He's right now he's at Iowa Western Community College. Again, kind of same size from a tackles perspective. They're looking for 6'5", 310. He's a 2026 class of 2026 guy, and he graduates in May. So that you kind of be one to watch where, you know, you have to think that this recruitment, whichever way it's going to go, is going to kind of be sped up through the spring and into the summer just because he's going to be a May graduate from Iowa Western. But obviously, guy that has those ties, the South Carolina ties, be days from Graniteville and went to Midland Valley. And you know, he's got, you know, Boise State. He was a Washington State commitment at one point, but decommitted there. I think it was in January or maybe in December, decommitted from Washington State. So another one where we kind of talk about where they're expanding this board a little bit, but that's from a 27 perspective. But this one's kind of interesting just because he's a 26 May graduate type of guy who could be in pretty quick if he does decide South Carolina or whatever school he goes to.
Iowa Western is in basically Omaha, Nebraska. It's right there on the other side of Omaha, which is where everybody in Gamecock country hopes they can be this summer. Yeah, I like the JUCO. You know, right now at this point, if you're wanting to add another offensive lineman, or if they want to add a tight end and they find one of the JUCO ranks, you know, you give them, especially kids that are from South Carolina. It's kind of unfortunate they lost a kid from Buford. I think he went to LSU, right? So
yeah.
That's tough. That Buford Hilton Head area, for every Devin Taylor they get, they lose three or four of those guys historically. Lucky for Carolina, they had a lot of talent down there, right?
Yeah, they've got some guys in that Hilton Head kind of Buford area right now. Amari Patterson, who's a 27 receiver, he's got all the big offers right now. LSU, Florida. I'm sure everybody remembers Jalen Snead, the linebacker who was from Hilton Head, and he went to Notre Dame. So they got some talent down there. I think you just try to see if South kind of can tap into some of it.
Patterson's 2027 kid.
Yeah, Amari Patterson. Yep.
Where is he? He's from Buford, or
he plays at Bluffton.
Bluffton High School.
Same kind of.
That's probably what Kirby Smart was doing at Bluffton High School.
Yeah, Georgia's in on him. Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that. So yeah, I hadn't heard much about him in Carolina, but Carolina's got receivers, so.
Yeah.
Who knows what'll happen with that, but you know, I need to go check him out. That's one I haven't learned about yet. I need to learn about him.
He's kind of been he's been one that's been on the radar for a while. South Carolina hasn't offered, but here recently he's kind of blown up a little bit. I mean, LSU was pretty recent, but you know, I think Florida is right there with him too, in Georgia. So it's kind of those three, it seems like, right now from what's out there.
LSU and Georgia. That's interesting. Sometimes those kids that have the big offers in state, the in-states pass on them. Sometimes, you know, there's Junior Hemingway was one. Carolina didn't really pass on him. He had a guy that pushed him to Michigan. But he ended up being good, better than everybody thought. Sometimes though, those guys go to other places and they're god awful. They never pan out. They end up in the portal and at like Charleston Southern in a couple of years.
And I think in wide receiver in this cycle too, they can kind of be selective just from where the room is from an age standpoint. I mean, you still got all these guys who are going to be now. I know when the 27 gets like, again, those guys who were freshmen last year are going to be juniors, but you're still kind of overall in a good spot from a depth age kind of standpoint there.
Yeah, I still in-state wide receivers do pan out for the most part, so we'll see what happens. You know, Matt says one day we will make the 20-hour drive back to Omaha. Seems like people want to, let's talk baseball. We'll talk baseball a little bit.
Sure.
What did you think about, and we'll go back, we'll come back to football and maybe a little basketball too. Maybe a little equestrian, because I have a lot of questions. Did you see the miniature horse with Cocky on Instagram?
I did not see that.
Oh,
I got a lot of questions. Russell is our resident equestrian expert.
Okay.
He actually knows a lot about things.
They're doing pretty well. I mean, back-to-back, being number one, back-to-back.
I'm very interested. I mean, I'm like actually, I haven't paid any attention. I'm actually kind of excited. My mom was, when back in her younger years, showed quarter horses. And I guess it's not the same thing, showing a horse and equestrian. I don't think it's the same thing. But I learned about all the saddles and stuff back then. Mm-hmm. It was during that same era where I learned about solar flares and when I was watching in life, when I watched Super Friends. That was like eight-ish. One night, my mom got kicked by a horse named Comanche. She kicked Comanche. The poo out of her. Yes. And she came back there bringing her in. She didn't break a bone, though. But that could be painful. Baseball real quick. Gamecocks, I'm sure you shared this opinion deep inside. I try not to make too big of a deal out of it, but there was probably a little bit red, some red flags with how they were hitting the baseball the first couple of games. They made some, Pulmonary made some good moves yesterday. I mean, I think if Bo Hollins isn't going to hit, you know, and he missed a bunch of time in the preseason, and Will Craddock can put Will Craddock in there. I'm all for that. Accountability is important. Performance is important when you need to win games. But it seemed like they kind of got into it yesterday. They came alive a little bit from about the fourth inning on. You know, your gut feeling about that, just the first five games of the season, how it's all unfolded. I mean, you know, most of my baseball contacts, which are probably your baseball contacts as well, worried about pitching and defense, thought they'd hit fine. Well, that's been kind of the polar opposite. It's been good. Pitching, I think the pitching's been surprisingly steady. And, I mean, you know, I know they're not playing, but, you know, last year there were some pitching outings, guys, against some of these little teams where – other team would knock the cover off the ball, you know, and you couldn't, so your thoughts just Alex on baseball so far.
Yeah. When you look back to the weekend, you know, I think you liked what you saw from a pitching staff. You know, I think there were some good things from Riley Goodman and the starters, but and then you know, I thought Gunther and some of those relievers, you know, the pitching overall kind of did their job. It was just the offense that kind of struggled overall. I mean, I think it was 4-for-30 with runners in scoring position, which that was a red flag coming into this, a red flag to see that, because that was something that South kind of struggled with last year was runners in scoring position. And I think, you know, with these two games against Wofford and Gardner-Webb, just I think it's a good sign to see the bats get hot. Then you're seeing guys who are starting to, you know, who have started off the season well, you know, Talmadge Okoye, catcher, he had a really good night last night. You know, Will Craddock is a guy that's going to be pretty interesting to watch because to see what he could do at first base, because, I mean, the night he had last night was pretty solid too. So, and you know, I think Tyler Bach, you know, overall has had, you know, I know he had kind of a one of those rough games against Northern Kentucky, but overall, I think he's been a nice kind of little surprise from an offensive standpoint. Like, seemed like you knew what you're going to get from a defensive standpoint for him in center, but I think you had to like what you've seen offensively from him. But I, you know, that's going to be something that it feels like they needed that these types of games, these past few games where the bats get high, just to build some confidence and then just to see some guys who are doing well. And, you know, Logan Sutter, you know, I think that was good last night for him to see that the ball go over, because he's one that's had some offensive struggles. It seems like through preseason into the start of the season, but for him to end the game the last night against Gardner-Webb, that had to be a big confidence boost for him. But I think just overall, you have to like what you've seen from the pitch and stuff. They've kind of stepped up when the offense hasn't been, you know, especially against Northern Kentucky when they couldn't get their runs in with runners in scoring position. The pitching overall, for the most part, has done what they need to do to give the offense every chance.
You think Craddock's offensive performance last night was enough to get him the start tomorrow?
I think you have to. Yeah, I think just because of the way he's playing, and you know, it's, you know, with Bo Hollins, I think it's just one where he's kind of, you know, doing some things like missing the preseason obviously hurt, so he's gonna have to kind of get some of those kinks out. But I think you have to imagine at some point he finds his way back into the lineup. But I just think with what Craddock did last night, there's you gotta, you know, let it roll. Just, I mean, obviously the bat's hot for him right now, and I think, you know, what he could do in a middle lineup potentially, like, I think you got to keep him in there.
TL Hanna High School, as Russell points out, home of the Yellow Jackets, home of radio. Home of, oh gosh, I don't know. Home of Zach Pickens, absolutely. And had this Blake Williamson, a former quarterback for the Gamecocks. I know the football guys. Brian Maddox, former running back, played at T.L. Hannah. I lost the bait because Stu and Derek were talking about the baseball guys. And I had it. There was Brady Thomas played T.L. Hannah. Okay. Was one of them. But then there were a couple more. But yeah, great to see young baseball players from the state doing nice things, I think. I don't mind the I thought I would mind it. I don't. I don't mind Talmadge LeCroy at Flatten Cleanup. And sometimes guys have their best years when their final year. This is his final year. I think he's looked awfully solid, just solid as a rock, gets hits. If he can keep doing that, I don't mind it. You know, I don't mind him batting cleanup.
Especially if they're going to, you know, I mean, they had the struggles with runners in scoring position against Northern Kentucky. I think he's one that can help that from, you know, in a cleanup spot where those guys get on. Like, he's been pretty solid and getting on base and putting the ball into the outfield. Like, I think you have to stick with that for right now to see where it goes.
Now, here's a dude that we thought, speaking of catchers, we thought, yeah, maybe he'd be the catcher. He's not. He's not as good defensively. But he's a DH, and he's off to a really good start. Reese Moore. Think about Reese Moore. Transfer from Iowa. It is an Iowa kid from the state. He's from a place called Van Meter, Iowa. It's about 40 miles, looks about 40 miles west of Des Moines. Population 1,484. Played for the Hawkeyes, you know. Kind of probably a new – probably like – going to college in a different country, being in Columbia from Van Meter, Iowa. That's a little different, but he's actually been really solid at the plate. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, with some, it's going to be interesting to see here as they get into this weekend and into these next few weekends, because I think you got to find a way to get Craddock into the lineup. We got to find a way to get a Reese Moore into the lineup, a Patrick Evans too. Like, you've seen some flashes from him, and, you know, wanted to continue to see more from him, but he showed the power in his bat early in the weekend. So, you know, those guys, like, it's, you know, from a lineup perspective, like, and then you still got Bo Hollins, who, you know, we saw what he could do last year. Like, there's going to be some, you know, how they kind of fill that lineup out. It's going to be interesting because there's a lot of guys for only 9 spots right now. He kind of like what their potential is. Now, you know, obviously, you know, they're going to face better pitching than what they've seen against Wofford and Gardner-Webb. And probably this weekend, too, you know, some these academies are going to have some solid pitching, too. But then you get into the Clemson weekend. You want to, kind of, I think, have that lineup really kind of figured out heading into midweeks next week into that Clemson weekend to get things going.
Luke Uhas, big kid. Transfer from Louisiana Lafayette. That is the Coppin State of baseball around here. The Navy of baseball, if you will, if you want a football analogy. Carolina, one of their best teams ever, lost to Lafayette in the Super Regionals at Sarge Fry Field in 2000. But anyway, they're giving back in the form of Luke Uhas. I think he's pretty good. I thought, you know, he had to come in yesterday for – who's the kid from West Virginia? Jameson. So Jameson, I think, got injured or something. And so they ended up putting him in, and he had a couple of hits. Looked good doing it. Knocked the cover off the ball. So I think that's pretty solid. I'm not even going to ask you about basketball today. I don't want to talk about it. We've talked about it enough.
It's been enough, right? Yeah.
Look at that. Like, we were talking about the movie Lincoln yesterday. Enough justice has been done. Enough justice has been done.
I was like, poor Derek was doing his best. He was like, well, you know, over the past couple of games on the road, they've actually looked better. Like,
yeah, and now you got Mississippi State coming in, who seems to be kind of figuring things out this year. And Hubbard last night went for 35 points in the first half against Auburn, which is just insane. I mean, and they beat Auburn, and I mean, it seems like Mississippi State's starting to play well, too, coming in this weekend.
All right, I lied. I'm going to ask you one.
I got one, too, yeah. I was like, who's the points on Saturday? Meechie or Hubbard?
Meechie did whatever he wanted to, it seemed, against Florida. But I think Florida was just like, man, we'll let him do whatever, and we'll see. The rest of them can't. So my question is – actually, answer Phil's first. Meechie or Hubbard on Saturday?
Who's got more points?
You got to answer it.
I'm going Hubbard. I just think, I mean, he's playing really well. He's a guy that he can do that. Like, he can go off for these types of things where he's hitting 9 threes in the first half or whatever he did last night. Like, I, you know, that's just more so me, you know, with respect to have for Hubbard. Like, that guy, he's really, really good. So I'll go there.
I'll go Hubbard too.
I'm leaning that way as well. Just,
you know. But, you know, at the same time, I'm wondering, like, from a defensive perspective, Auburn started to do it in the second half where they just weren't even letting Hubbard bring the ball up. Like, he'd get into the half court, they're double teamed to get the ball out of his hand. So maybe South kind of does something like that where they just, you know, don't let him touch the ball. But, you know, it's hard. Like, he still finds his ways to get those points.
It's hard to shut a guy like that down completely. It's just too hard.
All right, so the next question is, all right, let's hypothetically say, let's take Saturday's game off the board. Mississippi State does look like they're getting better. They're very well coached. I think they have better players than Carolina, quite frankly. Where does another win come from?
Yeah. I'm not going to say Kentucky just because, but it's going to be interesting to see where they are from a Kentucky as from mentality standpoint. I would choose Ole Miss on the road. Like, I think they haven't – I mean, they're not having the year they wanted at Ole Miss, but that's where I would go. I mean, Tennessee is going to be tough. I mean, they're starting to play better. Georgia's playing really well. They just won at Kentucky. If I can't take Mississippi State in those final four games or final three games, whatever it is, I'd take Ole Miss. And that still won't be easy because you're on the road.
Yeah, I don't see any of it. I think they're heading for another 2-16. If I had to bet, I would. Now, I hope they win every single game. I don't hope they lose.
I know
it's tough.
I think KenPom, I haven't checked this morning. I'm looking right now. He had South kind of beating Mississippi State. That was the only win he had predicted. Yeah, he still has South kind of as a 2-point favorite, and then four losses. The rest.
I could see that. I mean, they had one good game, so. Oklahoma's 3-10 in the league. I mean, you do play, you know, Mississippi State and Ole Miss. They're kind of down there. Auburn. Looks like Auburn misses Bruce Pearl a little bit, right?
They're starting to get more into the bubble than they want to be. I mean, they lost last
14-12.
Yeah, like they're starting to fall a little bit, and they're, I think, maybe 2 or 3 games above 500. Like, they needed that one last night because they play Kentucky this weekend, who both of those coaches need wins. I mean, Pope at Kentucky really needs a win because things are going to get interesting there if they get on the bubble.
Yeah, I just don't know who they're going to go higher. I mean, but at the same time, I don't know who Todd Golden said it. I'm not sure this is true. They were talking about it, Kentucky having a $22 million roster. I'd be shocked if that was the case.
I mean, it's been a big number that's been floating around.
I bet that they've been Arkansas spent because Kentucky's going to spend on basketball.
Yeah.
But if you can't be any better, 17-9 and 8-10, 8-5 in the league, I don't care how good your league is, and you spend that much money, you're overspending.
Yeah.
Maybe you should go do what Florida does. In fact, I think it's a good idea to do what Florida does in basketball roster construction. It's more proven than the let's go spend a ton of money. Mick Cronin probably spent a bunch of money on his youth. Have you seen this guy,
yeah, Mick Cronin, from the other night?
I've always liked him as a coach. In fact, if something happens and Carolina makes a change and Mick Cronin wants an out and wants to come coach basketball at South Carolina, I'm all for it.
That way he doesn't have to travel across the country so much, which really bothers him.
I will straight up call him out if he ever talks to anybody that works for me or any reporter like he did the reporter the other night. And I know the reporter asked a sort of dumbass question about the – but look, man, once again, you make how many millions of dollars a year? You live in Los Angeles. You're the basketball coach at UCLA. Somebody asked you about a legit question about the student section taunting him. Just be nice. And don't go after him. And then the guy really wasn't raising his voice. You raising your voice at me? All right, whatever, tough guy. Yeah. Stop punching down. You're going to go home, get your car service to take you to your mansion, and then get in your Porsche and blow off some steam because you have to travel too far because your idiot school you work for got in the Big Ten. and you know, you're going to play golf. And this guy's got to go home and feed his family. And he's going to have to use Klarna to buy Christmas gifts.
Right. Yes.
You know, what big man, what are you proving, big man, to just punch down at somebody that's a writer that's asking you questions at a press conference? I don't mind Mick Cronin going off on his players or the league. He just seems very unhappy all of a sudden. I didn't hear much unhappiness when he's at Cincinnati. Did you, y'all?
You've seen a lot of these types of post-game things with him pretty these past few years.
Well, it is ridiculous what they make you do travel-wise.
Yeah, for sure.
Football's fine, but in basketball and stuff, you know, it's got to be grating. They got to go all the way across the country. I think he'll be out. I think he could take like an escape hatch and go somewhere. That's the kind of coach, by the way, when I talk about if you want to find your Rick Barnes, if you're South Carolina, that's the kind of guy that's at a big job that's just done. Yeah. You know, or like when Minnesota hired Tubby Smith from Kentucky. Hmm. Yeah, that could be something that I think would make people happy. But good luck anyway, we'll talk about that later. Back to football for a minute. Russell mentions a freshman guard for Arkansas dropped 45 points, played the entire game.
Yeah.
Wow. That's something.
And apparently he was in a boot like 2 days before the game. And it's pretty cool because you see all the stuff that's happening at Kansas right now. But that guy, Darren Acuff, he's really good.
That's the guy Mike Morgan's been talking him up. He's seen him in person, Acuff.
Yeah, he's legit.
Wow, Kansas. I'd kick him off the team. He's really good. Yeah. Do you think Michael Jordan would have ever taken himself out of the game? How about Kobe? LeBron, no. not even LeBron, I don't think.
No.
And not any of those guys when they were young.
They're there because they have to be there to play at the NBA, which is, again, I put a lot of the onus on this whole, you know, NIL and one and done makes basketball basically untenable situation beyond even football and everything else we're looking at. But, you know, the NBA Players Association needs to get over themselves and just accept the fact that some of these high school players are good enough to be in the NBA. They may not know how to comport themselves as professionals, but it's not something that you're going to automatically get with 1 year of college. I can promise you that, especially in a situation where you're giving them more money than their initial NBA contract is going to be to play one single year as a freshman at a college.
And this freshman class is probably, I mean, these guys, there's a lot of these guys, a handful of these guys who can probably play in the NBA. I mean, Darren Peterson, DeBansa at BYU. I can't remember the Boozer twins. Especially I can't remember. I think it's Cameron Boozer. That's really good. Like this freshman class this year is really good. I think it's kind of proving that point.
I'd go back to the old days and just say, if you want to basketball, if you want to go pro, you can go pro.
Yeah. If you're good enough, come on.
Yeah. Just college basketball. Cause there's
that won't hurt college basketball. Like, yeah, I mean, that's not going to destroy college basketball.
I think it'd make it better actually. There's no, since we've had the one and done rule reimposed, there's nothing that says you win NCAA tournament championships with a bunch of one and dones.
You win with older teams. I mean, that's you're seeing that. Yeah.
It's crazy. Blake wants to put Reese Moore in left field. I don't know.
Yeah, they got that's those two outfield spots. They got to figure out.
Yeah, I think so too. Raphael Little, who was a running back for Kentucky, really good player for years. The in-states passed on him, but he was really good. Joker, I think Joker Phillips era, Rich Brooks era. He's from T.L. Hanna as well. A famous school, T.L. Hanna and Anderson. So, yeah, the kid from Kansas took himself out. And then Bill Self. I mean, look, I would kick him off the team. I would say he's just not going to play for me anymore. But you got pressure to win. Kansas fans are going to wonder why.
Yeah, he's in a tough spot with that.
Well, the player is really good, but I don't care how good you are. I really don't. If you're not willing to play the game and you don't love to play and you don't love to compete, once you get to the pros when everybody's just as good, you're not going to amount to diddly poo.
But this kid is like a tailor-made AAU, over entitled player who thinks that the team doesn't matter. Has grown up probably all his life being the best player that he's played against in these, you know, even in these semi-professional little leagues. And, you know, parents have filled him up with all of that. You just need to do this one thing and then you can, you know, get into the NBA. You just got to put in 1 year. And then his agent is telling him in the background, I'm sure, hey, listen, you don't have to play this entire year. The check is already cleared for the $1 million that the millions of dollars that they were going to pay you. And just tell him you got a cramp. And that way you can preserve your draft stock and be a lottery pick, which, I don't know.
It's a mess.
And so, basketball makes me, it infuriates me more than any of the other sports when it comes to NIL, because it's just like it, and it's just symptomatic of the entire system being screwed up from youth leagues all the way to the college experience. Like, it needs a complete overhaul that isn't going to happen. I mean, it's idealism, but
they called it ESPN said cramping.
Yeah, cramped.
Missed as most of the second half with cramping. Man, come on, dog.
Yeah.
Well, and Bill Self's like, I thought we were past it.
I thought we were past this.
Hey, I'll take every one of South Carolina's players over this guy.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's a mentality that just works, right? Because a kid like this, once he faces any sort of adversity, is going to fall apart because he has no resilience. He's not been taught that. Yeah.
And you know, Kansas probably has other good basketball players.
Right. Like, yeah.
And you got this one guy taking himself out. I mean, how do they feel? Right. Part of life is being a good teammate, Alex. Don't you know? Alex is a fantastic teammate. Oh, man. We've run away over.
Yeah, we have. We've kept you too long, Alex.
We're sorry.
That was a true smorgasbord today. I mean,
We went back for thirds.
Mm-hmm.
We actually went to the old Warsaw smorgasbord a few weeks back with my wife's parents and their friend Lumpoon. Lumpoon's family is his daughter and his wife took off and went to Florida for like 6 months. They don't feed him, you know. He doesn't get any food. That dude, like my stepsons, me, in-laws, my wife. We were all done after about plate. This is a Polish smorgasbord. I mean, there's like kielbasa and such.
And lumpkies.
Potatoes. And potato pancakes and pierogies.
Yeah.
A full fresh salad bar. God, if it wasn't 30 minutes away, I'd probably go there right now to eat. But this dude, like, we're all done, and he's going back for more. And he's like a little old skinny guy, you know. His wife didn't feed him. So that's what kind of episode of smorgasbord we had today, Alex. It's a Lumpoon style smorgasbord. Alex froze. He froze at the end.
He did. That is funny.
That's awesome. All right.
All right. Get him out. Thanks, Alex.
final break. We'll be back to wrap up the show after this.
New year, new you, right? Let the procrastination begin. You've done it before. Join the gym. Go for a couple of weeks, and then it's over. So here's our solution. Bring the gym to you. Do it your way, on your time, in your home. Visit Charleston Fitness Equipment and start where you want to start. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Have a healthy new year. Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia.
If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million-mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
Today and every day, we celebrate our great state of South Carolina,
This week, our hometown highlight takes us to the banks of Winya Bay, to beautiful Georgetown. Visit the Rice Museum the next time you stroll Front Street. We love you, Georgetown.
Hey, Georgetown, this is your Lowcountry lawyer and friend, Mason West at the West Law Firm. We love our folks in Georgetown, just like we do all across the state of South Carolina. And if you've been injured in a car wreck or hurt on the job, we're here to help. Call us at West Law Firm, 843-897-7525.
Show look good. Look good and you know it. But you know it, know it. Look
good and you know it. And now, the show goes on.
Welcome back, everybody. Final final segment of the Thirsty Thursday Smorgasbord episode of Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Phil and JC in here with you for a couple more minutes. How do we want to wrap this thing, man? We've been all over the place. We've talked about
it. Oh, it's a beauty from Tom Fornelli, which probably should not. Yeah, I don't know. So all the talking heads, I've talked about this on coffee yesterday. Some of them talking about Carolina being a fringe playoff team, right? And they're the people that actually look at the personnel and look at the roster. But good old Tom here, he just kind of looks at whatever. It's almost like they're going to just have the same team.
Right.
And it's like, and then the Sports Illustrated blog, which, but what a sullying of that name that these blogs have done. I'm not coming down on anybody that wrote it. I get it. You got to have content, but I've got some thoughts about content. So the headline is CBS says that this, it's not, it's Tom Fornelli. It's another person from CBS had the Gamecocks as in the top 25. Another one had them as a fringe playoff team. Right. But you want to say the good takes with the bad takes, because there's a lot of them out there. There's going to be a lot of bad, not bad. I'm not saying bad takes as in there's not a lot of thought put into it. I don't think this one had a lot of thought put into it, but there's a way. I mean, you can look at Carolina next year and say they're not going to be very good, and you're not out of line as long as you back it up. But here's what was said. Tell me if you've learned anything about the 2026 Gamecocks by reading this, or if there's any context. I don't know, it's pontificating, that 6-6 would save Shane Beamer, but after going 1-7 in the SEC last year, I suggest he tries to get there at a minimum. Considering this program was on the precipice of a playoff spot in 2024, last year's fall to 4-8 hurt even more. Now they have to deal with a 9-game SEC schedule while also playing a road game against Clemson outside the league. The good news is the Gamecocks get 5 of their conference games at home, and that's a big help. Also, 3 of those feel winnable. Mississippi State, Kentucky, Tennessee. Who else is at home? A&M? That's not winnable. They lost by 1 point last year, Tom.
That's right.
With a bad team or a bad offense. And but won by 24 the year before, and they've won 2 in a row in Columbia. I mean, I get saying Georgia's going to be a beast next year. A&M's not winnable.
I think a lot of these guys just look at the roster for this year and look at the roster last year.
I don't think they look at the roster. They just looked at the dang just the record. Yeah. So, all right, so let's say this. So there are must wins if the Gamecocks want to go bowling. The Cox, he calls them the Cox. So that means you have to beat Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Kentucky to go to a bowl. That means you're looking at 3 wins elsewhere. That means you're looking at, you know, Towson State and Kent are 2 of them. So that's 1-6 against Arkansas, Oklahoma, Florida, Clemson, Alabama. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, if they play like they did last year, they will go 6-6 at best. I mean, that's the bottom line. You got to play better. But anyway, just
crazy.
I'm not crapping on it. I just, you know, if you're gonna say they'll be lucky to get to 6-6, use some context why.
Right. Why? Yeah.
I don't think they fixed their offensive line issues with these guys in the portal. Fair.
Right. You know?
Yeah. I don't think they have any go-to wide receivers. That's something a lot of people are gonna say that I believe they're wrong, but until the receivers go out and get a bunch of production, the people that just, you know, people fairly are going to look at it and say, well, nobody caught over 30 passes last year. You know, I get that, but this is just like looking at brand names on a schedule and picking out. I'd rather say 3-9.
Yeah, it might as well. Yeah, just say like, yeah, they'll probably steal one of the nine.
You want to get behind Tennessee, getting Aguilar health eligible and making every JUCO in the country have eligibility left? Sure. I'll give you say Tennessee will beat them, and Mississippi State's going to be much improved and a surprise team. And, you know, Kentucky got all those good offensive linemen, and they got new life with Will Stein. Will Stein. I'm there for that. I'll eat that meal. But don't serve up just a. I mean, did you do any homework? I don't know. I'm gonna find a take that says the Gamecocks aren't gonna be that good that I'm gonna say is a good take.
All right. Yeah, we'll find a down take that actually has sound reason.
I shouldn't have even mentioned this, but you know, to the headline writer. Don't say CBS did something when it's one guy, because CBS has been a little all over the map, but there were a couple of writers that were pretty positive about it. I think Brandon Marcello did that. Don't just blanket. That's like me taking a Heather Dinich take and just say ESPN said this.
That's right. ESPN reports.
ESPN. What is this, ESPN?
What?
24-hour sports. Oh, this is going to be a cultural and financial disaster. Remember they had Ron Burgundy in the ESPN audition?
Yes, ESPN.
What is this, ESPN?
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here, man.
Let's do it.
It's been a heck of a Smorgasbord Thursday. Thank you to everyone.
That's been
Sean great. Said, Gamecock, J.C. Thomas is usually in the Gamecock's corner and researches things. The only thing I can think of is he's contaminated now from Bud from Cover 3.
Oh, that's Quantrill.
That's Quantrill, not Sean. Who is Sean? Rolling up in here on X.
That's right. Now, anybody who's throwing shade at Bud from Cover 3.
Yeah, Quantrill is our Cover 3 podcast expert.
I love it.
Peace out, Craiger. Appreciate you. Craiger did ask a question earlier I didn't get to. How can you block Texas A&M 2 years in a row and not block Jacksonville State and SC State and teams like that? That's a great question that I have no idea.
But
for some reason, that group of offensive linemen, when they played A&M, they got up for it. Played really well. That was Shed Surratt's first start at right tackle, too. So he wasn't even there in 2024.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they knew something. How to block it. So, anyway.
Nothing on the ice there between Canada and USA.
This is women's, right?
Yeah, after the first period.
A
Team USA and Canada A locked in a scoreless duel. A. Don't you know?
What's this all about, Phil? Canada.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
All right, tomorrow. We got a four-quarter Friday tomorrow? Yeah, we do, don't we?
We do. I'm actually producing tomorrow because Steve is a bit under the weather.
Is he going to be on the show or is this going to be Matt?
I'm not sure. Matt's going to check in with him a little later. I might fill in for that. I'm going to have to do a little studying if so. I'll have to wake up early tomorrow. Not necessarily excited about that, but we are going live at 8:30 tomorrow with four-quarter Friday.
Four quarter Friday tomorrow live at 8 and then 8:30. Sorry, and then we'll have the morning show, The Conversation with Stuart Lake, Jamie Bradford. It is a great way if you're a baseball fan to just, of course, we want me, Phil and I want you to listen to us too. But if you just want to listen to something and then log off and not listen to us, that's fine too. Because if too many of you do that, we won't have a Friday show and we can be off. That'd be great.
Yeah, hold on.
I'll just have it during football.
Wait a minute. This Friday might episode. Not be a bad idea, JC.
Yeah, it's like college when you didn't have any Friday classes. That's right. But that conversation with JB and Stu, it's so awesome. Just them going back and forth, talking about the game. And Stu's so funny. I mean, and it's been that way for 2 years now. That Friday conversation, if you love college baseball.
It's the best college baseball talk.
You cannot beat it at all. It's so good. And so, I don't know. I love it. So, anyway, check it out. I'll be checking it out tomorrow. Phil and I will have late night Gamecock Matt Anderson in with us. We'll have some stats, as always. But he's not just a stats man. He's a takes man. He knows he's got a good opinion, good head on the shoulders. He knows some things. I think he's going to Disney, isn't he? That's why he's not going to be here for late night.
Yeah, JB's filling in on the late night show for him.
Filling in on Chief Sports Network. So, yeah, I'll have to grill him about that. Or just find out, like, where he's staying and stuff.
He was right, yeah. So, better be on property. How do you go there and not stay on property? I know.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Pop Century Resort and Art of Animation, they now have the Sky Bucket. Now, I'm not going to – I told myself last time I went March of 2023 or 4. No, 3. I'm married yet. No, it's 3. It wasn't 24. I went with my mom and her husband and my niece. I took them because I promised them. And I'm not going back for 10 years at least. 2033, I'll return. It's not had a bad time. It's just I kind of want to go to some other places. And for the price of going to Disney,
you go to a lot of other places.
Go to Italy for a week. Right. But I said I'm not going back, but I'm still very interested. And I need him too, Phil. I need him to get some more new rides. I've ridden all those too many times.
I know. That's like I do feel compelled to go because there are new things since the last time we went, which was like 2021. So it was like Disney Studios had even opened up the Star Wars area and all of that. So.
Oh, that's all. Yeah. And then you have
we got to check all that out.
What is it? The Guardians of the Galaxy thing? Awesome.
They had just started putting in the things for Tron, like
Tron at the Magic Kingdom now. Mm-hmm. It's there's enough for you to justify it.
Yeah, yeah. Ready to go. I'd like to get there. And my eldest her senior year's next year, so we'd like to within the next calendar year go. We'll see how that works.
Oh, I know all about y'all's trips to Disney. It seems like a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, good time.
Like a lot of fun.
Well, and regardless of how many times we go, if all of us can put together one, oh, we're in.
That's the one exception. That's the one exception. All right, for the Mad Dog, it's JC Sherbert. It's been a fun episode of the show. I'm in a good mood today. Hope y'all are too. See you tomorrow.